Okay. Well, Sima Tov Rabosai, it's crunch time. It's officially crunch time. Getting very, very close to the Yom HaGadol V'Hakadosh Yom Kippur. So, truth is, this is really not my place to speak. Although, as most of you know, Rabbi Reichman Shlita was hospitalized earlier this week, shortly after Rosh Hashanah. He was not feeling well, and Baruch Hashem, it's good that he did not wait too long before seeing someone. He was released. I spoke to him today. Baruch Hashem, he's doing much better. He's not going to be with us for Yom Kippur for the first time that I can remember. When I was in high school, my first year in yeshiva for Yom Kippur was 11th grade. Rabbi Cohn was my Rebbe, and he said, you guys better stay for Yom Kippur. So when Rabbi Cohn spoke, we listened. And Rabbi Reichman was davening Shacharis back then, 25 years ago also. But Yishai B'Fu Shalema, Social Holy Israel, which we've been spot for him. And for many years, he has been giving a little hachana for Yom Kippur tomorrow morning, tomorrow before Mincha. So I thought maybe it would be appropriate for us to, schus for him, to be mamshach for that practice. So I want to talk about, maybe these are in Yanam Pshutim, but they need chizik. Shari Tshuva, towards the end of the Sefer, in Shari Revi, not everyone gets to it. You know, in the small window of time you have at the beginning of Elul, one thing that Rabbi Yonah is known for in Shari Revi is that he talks about the different reasons for the Suda that we have, the mitzvah of Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. Some of them are more familiar. In Yud, in Sifkat and Yud, he says the third reason, L'man nechazik l'harbos tefilah v'sachron v'yom kippurim. He says, Pashut, you need your chizik, you have to eat. Make sure that you know, you take time out of your day, even take time out of the Beis Medrash to sit and have a Suda, so that you have strength to daven, because that's the avoda. Going backwards again, very interesting, not for now. But his second reason is that it's a yontif. It's a yontif, Yom Kippur is a yontif. Every yontif we have a suda. And for this yontif, we can't do it on the day itself because we have to push it up the day because we can't eat. Every other yontif, you eat on the yontif itself. And he doesn't say it's like a mitzvah simcha of v'samachta b'chagecha. He said there's an inyan of tachas shol avadat shol mokach b'simcha b'tov leivav. Simcha shol mitzvah in general. He says the mitzvah suda on every yontif is the mitzvah of Simcha Shal Mitzvah in its own right, not tied down to the Yanta per se, but that's the occasion that we highlight the Simcha Shal Mitzvah, not for now. But the first reason he gives is very interesting. The Mahalach at the beginning of the Shar is talking about the Chalukah Kapara, what a person has to do, depending on if it's an Aseh, a Los Aseh. The Gemara describes, it's a Braisa, some things, Tshuva is enough. Some things it's a combination of tshuva and yisurim. Some things it's a combination of tshuva, yisurim, and you have to wait for Yom Kippur for the kapara to be complete. And then you have Rachman al-Slan al-Chil Hashem. Even Yom Kippur, it may delay the impact of the Averis and so on and so forth, but he has to wait till Yom HaMisa to get kapara. But these are the main, we'll say, components of the tahalich of tshuva, again, depending on the severity of the Avera, including the Maisa tshuva, including the yisurim, and also Yom Kippur. That's something you have to wait for. So he says, if you do something that requires Yom Kippur, you don't have a karbon. So he says, the yichso v'yichakal agil Yom Kippurim. If you've done everything else that comes along the way in the, let's say, the prerequisites, and Yom Kippur is part of that process, you should wait, and you should anticipate and be excited and almost anxious. L'agil Yom Kippurim v'man yisrato el Hashem Yisbarach. You're waiting for that cherry on top of the final stage of the tshuva. So you're looking forward to Yom Kippur. Not everyone looks forward to Yom Kippur. He says, if you're doing tshuva, you better be looking forward to Yom Kippur. Ki ritzono chaya nefesh, v'aguf v'chaya kol notzer. Kosh Baruch Hu wants you to live. He wants you to survive. He wants Yom Kippur to come and wipe away the avera. K'mo shenemar chayim ritzono. V'akein omru razal kol akovei sud v'erbi Yom Kippurim. Ki lunet stav l'san tshi v'asiru v'san abhem. Says, that's the pshat. Chazal tell us the importance of eating a sud on erbi Yom Kippur. Ki unbelievable. She says, you know why we have a suda on Erev Yom Kippur? What are we celebrating? Okay, Rabotai, Hachana Erev Yom Kippur also. You have to know what you're supposed to be thinking. 3:30 to 5:30 in the calf tomorrow, okay? Or wherever you happen to be. What am I thinking? So he says, if in fact Yom Kippur is something I'm supposed to be looking forward to, and the reason I'm looking forward to it is because it's part of my tshuva process, so then when you finally get there, Sofa mochiah al tchiloso, if I'm celebrating when I get to that final stage, so that is mora, that demonstrates that the whole time, right, I was engaged deep down. Maybe I wasn't able to express it. Maybe I'm not holding by that, right? But da'agoso, you go no so, right? These lashonos, yagon and daigo, if you go back to the beginning of the sefer, right? Those are the basic components of the ikra hashlishi. How do you perform tshuva? You need to sit and feel bad. It needs to bother you. It has to be something that irks and gives you a stomachache. It makes a knot in your stomach. That's what yagon is. That's what part of karata daigo. I'm worried. It's like it bothers me that I did something wrong. Right? You have to sit down. You have to learn a little muster to spur that emotion. But even if you didn't externalize it, you can through your suda. You externalize your yogon and the what bothers you about doing avera by celebrating when I get to the point that it's all done. And that's the tachlis of the suda. So keep that in mind. All three kavanas. There's more, but that's the most mechudesh, I think. The simcha that I'm demonstrating when I finally get to that point show that I was waiting for it all along and I was gearing up with all the component parts of tshuva. Now, l'anias da'iti, this end game that Rabbeinu Yonah is describing is really the end game of the whole sefer. And it's so from mochiach al tchiloso back to the very beginning, because at the start of the sefer, Rabbeinu Yonah gives a mashal about the process of tshuva and the necessity to do tshuva and not to delay and to take advantage of the opportunity that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. And there's a question here that I think finally comes to light when you get to the end of the sefer. In the interest of time, try to keep it short, but in Oz Beis and Shaar Rishon, he talks about the more you delay doing tshuva, the worse, more severe are the reverberations and the consequences of what you did wrong, because you're not acting in a way that shows that you regret it. Who only bemerdo vino barasso. You're saying, I'm still in that rebellious state. I know that you're not happy, but I'm not doing anything about it. So obviously you're not making friends over here with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. You can get out of here, and you can escape HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. Akin rosa rabba. So it means it's worse. And he brings the famous mashal from Medrash and Koheles. Kasha listen. There's a group of bandits, gangsters, who are all caught, and the Chof Shana Melech Beis Asurim, the king puts them in jail. And the Beis Asurim, we have to remember, just like use this imagery as we go through the next few minutes. What was a jail 1,000 years ago, and maybe more than that in Medrash Koheles? But in Rabbeinu Yonah time, 1,000 years ago, what was a jail like, right? So just picture, like, you know, those dungeons from medieval times, like the spiral stone staircase with the candles, you know, and following as you go down, right? And you're going further and further, and you're hearing, like, the, you know, screams of people who are behind the bars, and, like, it's dark and it's smelly, and there's rats running around, and right? This is not minimum security, daf yomi shir, three times a day, you know, modern, white-collar criminal. This is the dungeon. Okay, you know, the Balei Mussar say that was the godless of Yosef HaTzadik. He was in jail, right? So, and the next day, he shows up and he sees Hinam Zofim, the Saramashka, Sarofim, they were sad, right? So it sounds like, all right, so he saw they were sad, he asked him what was going on. No, Yosef was living in the most wretched and most decrepit, you know, set of circumstances you could possibly imagine, right? So, like, imagine how much he was wallowing in his own terrible matzav, but he's able to notice with sensitivity that someone else needs a pat on the back. Someone else needs a little chizuk. That's a guy that's a Yosef Atzadik, right? So this is the jail. The king puts him in jail. And after a while, they're sick of this, like, disgusting, disgusting cell. They dig a hole underneath, and they make a tunnel, and they escape. All but one of them. Four of them escape, and one of them remains behind. And the warden comes the next morning. He sees that they're all gone, and one of them is there. And he's beating them. What's the matter with you? You're such a terrible... Kishay yayom, what's the matter? You should have escaped. Right? Okay. And he says, that's the mashal of a person who could have done tshuva and doesn't do tshuva. Bondlister asked on Rabbeinu Yonah, what is this mashal? What is it? The guy had a jail sentence, and he could have escaped. And he didn't. Give him the Congressional Medal of Honor. The guy's a hero, right? Loyalty to the king. King tells me, I'm in jail? Okay, I'm going to stay in jail, right? Like, and what are you beating him for? Well, how does that parallel tshuva? The guy did what he was told to do. Not the same thing as tshuva. So to fully taste the answer, I just want to backtrack a little bit with another word that I heard many years ago. Rabbi Sachs was very fond of it. I heard, he used to give, Rabbi Neuberger has the summer kollel in Bergenfield. That used to be Rabbi Sachs. So I spent a few summers there, and Rabbi Sachs used to say over this word from the Maral Diskin. We know, when it comes to Evet Ivri, if he wants to stay for more than 6 years, so he has to have his ear pierced, right? Haptias Adoni, I'm going to stay. And he stays ultimately Arayovel with a pierced ear. And Rashi brings in Parshas Mishpatim, Zimun Kedushin, that the reason for that is Ozen Shoshama, he heard by Har Sinai, Lo Signo, but he went ahead and he stole. And we sell him into slavery as a punishment for the fact that he stole. So Frektim Al Diskin, I understand. The guy heard Lo Signo, but he didn't listen to it. So why are you piercing his ear at the end of the 6 years? Right? When he's opting in on his own volition, it has nothing to do with the punishment, right? The punishment's over. He wants to stay later. Give all to let him stay. Why don't you pierce his ears when he originally gets sold into slavery at the beginning, right? He's a Pasha Kasha. What's going on? Shmuel Diskin basically says the following. Just read a lashon. He says, Hu Omer Haftias Adoni. Nichol b'shibud gufo b'mashen nosin lo rabo mezonos bad ishto obono v'goli daite sha onesha makru bezdin l'shtavit in ze oneshlo. He says, I was sold by Basin. This was my onesh. You know what? It's not so bad. This isn't a punishment for me. I can do. I like, you know what? I'm going to stay even longer. I don't have to work for a living. Give me my parnasa. Give me a wife. Not so bad. You know? Pillows are comfortable, right? I got my master gave me his own pillow, right? That's his reaction. So, Mashal Ma'adover Doma, if we bring it down to our Mashal, kid gets sent to his room for doing something bad, for misbehaving. And half an hour later, parents come to his room to check on him, and he's playing video games, right? That is like the worst. That is like the ultimate slap in your parents' face. Oh, you know, you're supposed to be thinking about what you did wrong, and you're playing video. The story goes, I love this story. Baruch Bear was once misbehaving. I don't know what that means. You know, when he was 5 years old, 6 years old. So his parents sent him to his room, and came back a few minutes later, and his father saw he was davening mincha in the corner of the room. So, yeah, I sent him to your room, and you're davening mincha? Which would be the worst kasha, you know? So Baruch Bear said to him, you sent me to my room, and I was crying, and I was sad. And it was, it's rare that we have like an outpouring of emotions. I said to myself, I have to direct that to the Bona Shiva. I have to take this moment of overflowing rigshus and put it into my mincha. There's a lesson to take from that. Okay, not for tonight. But you send the kid to the room and he's playing video games, like you didn't get the point. Like, you're happy that I sent you to the room. You totally missed the boat. That's what's going on with the Eved Ivri. We pierce his ear at the end of the 6 years because you're ready to go free. You did your time. You learned your lesson. And you're saying, no, like, this was just perfect. That is the same problem with this guy here in the Bina Shari Tshuva. He's like, if he doesn't do tshuva, the warden is beating him because you're saying, the king banished me. The king sent me as far down to the depths, into the dungeon, away from the melech, further than anyone could possibly be. And what's my reaction? Okay, this is cool. I'll take it. You know, like I get three meals a day. Not so bad, right? And maybe I get some fresh air every once in a while. But I don't care about you, king, because everything is just fine. And that is the biggest slap in the face. That's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the richuk that I am now suffering from as a result of my avers, I did avers, I created machitzas, I created distance. I'm far away, I no longer have that kirva to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that David HaMelech says, kirva elokim li tov, and you know what, I'm not going to do anything about it, because I don't mind being so far away. That's the mistake of someone who's ma'acher in tshuva, who doesn't respond the way he's supposed to do. And you know what? You look through the slichos, also not for now, but also in Yom Kippur, like sprinkle in when we're asking for tshuva. Every once in a while we ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back from Gullus, right? We're talking about a kapara, you know, a kishel, a galbinu, and then we say also kabis in the chinu. Bring us back to the base of Mikdash. So what's it going to, how does that find its way into Yom Kippur? That's Tisha B'Av. Like, what's it doing over here? So I think the pshat is because the story of our Gullus is also the story of our struggle with the Yetzer Hara and the Mahalach of Tshuva. Because why do we press the person, see, peace of Yeshua, did you look forward to Geula? Simply because where we are right now, we're supposed to hate it here. Yaakov Avinu and Yosef Atzalik, when they were in Mitzrayim, they did whatever they could with Goshen to try to separate the people, to try to keep Klal Yisrael from being assimilated. Rabbi Simcha points that out in his famous piece in Bechukosai, Meshech Chachma. We tried. But you know what? The Gullus, being in Mitzrayim, it crept into our consciousness to the point that we didn't even know we were in Gullus, and pretty soon, we're in the 49th level of Tumah, and we were stuck in Mitzrayim for 210 years. But all of Gullus, to some extent, is supposed to be like, this is not my place. The Kli Yakar, hundreds of years ago, criticized the people of this generation in Parshas Vayechi, check out Rishwab over there, as the Gullus sets in and people were their sensitivities were dulled and numbed to the fact that they weren't at home. Kli Yakar says, I understand. I see people building houses, all of build, you know, knocking down two houses and building a third house that's the size of both of them. Like, how could we be so comfortable where we are? Again, I'm not, I don't want to be makatre, you know, Chas V'Shalom, I'm not pointing to communism, cloud, but we need to have our gusha, that I'm here, for whatever reason I'm here, there are many reasons why I'm here, but I need to have part of my heart in Eretz Yisrael, and feel like this is not my permanent home. Daf Chavtes, there's a chukla from the Stamps Over. It comes from our Gemara, Daf Chavtes, Yirmiyahu sends a letter. To Pasuk, he sends a letter to the people in Galus, build houses there. Why do you have to tell them to build houses? Were they going to live on the street? Yes! They had such bitachon and Kodesh Baruch Hu care if I could bring them back. They didn't want to settle in Babel. He had to tell them, you better settle in, because it's not going to be before so many years. We have to have our gusha, though. This is not where we're supposed to. There's a richuk. We're far away, and I'm not comfortable here. Rabbi Pavarsky says, that was why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't answered. 515 tefillos. Parshas Veslam, how come he couldn't come to Eretz Yisrael? Because he waited 40 years to ask for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are not going in. Moshe Rabbeinu should not have waited a second. He should have said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't stand it. Let me in right now. That's what someone who delays doing tshuva is saying. I'm comfortable in Galus. I'm in the jail cell and it's just fine. I like the weather down here. That's the statement. Again, we have to be careful. I'm not making Achmon Aslan, Kitruk and Klal Yisrael, but in Chutz Lars, we have to be careful. We don't, even if you live here, but, you know, okay, so rent an apartment in the Heights and stay for a little while, you know? And you know, he says you have to settle down so quickly. Maybe Mashiach will come. Maybe Mashiach will come. We hope so. So the story of Golus finds its way into Slichus, finds its way into Avodas Yom Kippurim, because that's ultimately, you know, a mushal to our richa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with every Avera that we commit. So we say in the Haftorah last week, try not to keep us too long, a few more minutes. Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki Hashal Tu Bavanecha. Think about those words more carefully. Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Shuv is not simply God wipe away my avers. Shuv is I need to be close to you, right? There's Shuv in Yira. Okay, maybe that's just wipe away the avers. No onesh. Shuv me Ava means I created a wall and I don't want to be on the other side of this wall. I miss you. I miss you, Rabbeinu Shalom, and I'm not comfortable with who I am. It's no longer about the geographic depiction, you know, of Chutz Lars and Eretz Yisrael in the jail or back with the king. It's about my heart. Where's my heart? My heart is not in the person who I am right now. I don't want my neshama to be here. I want to be with a neshama in a guf that's much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then my neshama should be closer to as well. The Ad Hashem Alkecha, Shuv Yisrael Ad Hashem Alkecha, the tshuva with a tachlis of iskarvus, of knocking down those mechitzas, that's the goal. And that, Rabosai, gets us back to Erev Yom Kippur again. That's the Suda. That's where Rabbeinu Yonah, when we finally get to the end of the Sefer, he's giving you the again, that cherry on top from his mushroom at the beginning. He tells you, Rav Waxman wants to point this out, isn't it funny? This is a handbook of tshuva. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah said. He said, I wrote this because I was doing tshuva myself and I had to bring everyone else along with me. Isn't it weird that the first page is warning people to not do tshuva? And he goes on for a while, all the reasons why you shouldn't not do tshuva. And then he starts telling you how to do tshuva. If it's a handbook, right, don't you first give the instructions at the beginning, then like, you know, with the warning, like, you know, don't immerse it into liquids, you know, don't, right, the warnings are at the end. Well, the instructions are at the beginning. So pshat is, the koach of the yetzer to delay tshuva, to keep the person down in the jail is so strong, the first we got to talk about, don't fall into that trap. Then we'll tell you how to do tshuva, but don't lose sight of that. So when you get to Erev Yom Kippur and you have your Suda, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, you know why you got to celebrate? You're celebrating because you've taken that journey successfully back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Once before Ne'ilah, they found Chassid Levinstein in his room singing and dancing. He was late to Ne'ilah because he was singing and dancing. Because he felt like he had an extension of his Suda. He felt like he had gotten back to where he wanted to be. How could you not be happy? You can only not be happy if you weren't disappointed being distant. You can only not be happy if you weren't disappointed being distant. But, as Rabbeinu Yonah said, the yagon and the daiga are now exhibited by the fact that you're celebrating being back home. That's it. Think about coming back from Eretz Yisrael, from a year or two. You've been away. So your parents, oh, give me a big hug. COVID, they couldn't come to visit you. And you're just like, oh, great to see you, Mom, Dad. You know, check your phone. Right? Like, clearly, like, it didn't mean anything that you were far away. Right? You just, like, went on your business. Like, we were sitting at my daughter goes to school, high school in Queens. She took public transportation to get back today. It took almost 2 hours. So she's just like, it's routine. Like, this is how I get home. Like, I said, I miss you. I missed you. 2 hours to get home from school. That's crazy. If a kid doesn't show that to his parent, right? If a kid doesn't say that to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's saying, yeah, it was fine. Like, you know, I was just like, I was talking to my friends. You know, like, it was okay. I didn't miss you that much. Right? That's what we're saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam. No one's saying that. No one's saying that to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This, I think, just very bekitzer. Check out Chaim Shmuel Levitz. There's a famous kash from the Rambam. Rambam says that if you're a tzaddik on Rosh Hashanah, great. You have more mitzvos, good. If you have more averos, you're done, right? But if you're a benyani, what happens if you're a benyani? Whatever you're benyani, you wait until Yom Kippur, right? And the Rambam, based on the Gemara, says, but if you didn't do tshuva the whole week, what happens? Then you're sealed with Rosh Hashanah. Everyone asks, I understand. Why should that be so? I'm neutral. I'm still a benyani, right? So Lech Mishnah says the pshat is because you were mevatel the mitzvah of tshuva. So that tipped the scales. Okay, so Rizik Blazer asked, okay, so I'll do another mitzvah. I'll chop off. Let's just orchim over here and bring it back or something like that, right? So I think the pshat is, no. The avon of bitul ha-tshuva, like, forget about it. That's so fundamental. You're just undercutting the whole system. The whole mensch falls apart. Because what are you going to add on more mitzvah? Okay, now you're tip the scales this way. But what do you say? You said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't mind just missing the whole chance to do tshuva. I'm okay being distant. That is what sinks the ship. That's what sinks the ship. Couldn't be. Less than 48 hours, it's all going to be over. Less than 48 hours, Mitzvah Shem will be down on the first floor listening to Pshach Tashir on Hilchas Sukkah. Okay? And the shofar has been blown. Shofar's already been blown. What's that shofar about? So, for a kid growing up, shofar blowing is like at the end of Yom Kippur. It's like, oh, Gevaldik, like school's out. Like the bell's ringing at the end of the day, I get to go home. I get to eat. Okay, it's a little simplistic. Truth is, the polyphilism actually say something similar to that. It's a signal. Everyone should hear. Okay, now it's time for the women who are home. They didn't make it to shul. Now they can start cooking and they can start preparing the meal to have sex. Okay, not exactly like the school bell. Okay, there's other reasons. The Rokeach says this is like the battle cry. We beat the Yetzer Hara. That's what he says. He says, Token Lomar Nitzachno Sasatan. Okay. Several reasons are shown. There's the one reason that the Chafetz Chaim brings. The one reason the Chafetz Chaim brings is Elokim Ol B'Tshuva. It signifies the Sila Kashchina. Just like by Harsinai, the Shechina departed. It went up. It left the Har after all that time being so close. The shofar now signifies that Kodesh Baruch Hu went back up the Shemayim. That's a sobering thought. It's a very sobering thought, right? It means like we made it to the end of Yom Kippur, right? School's out, but we also lost something. Right, that opportunity that Kodesh Baruch Hu is so close to us now until those final moments at the end of Yom Kippur, right, that's just to add one knech, that's what Rizik Blazer says. Just that extra, again, like we said, tipping the scale, when you don't do tshuva, it's because like Hashem is so close. He's right here. He's right here, right? He came to the entrance of the jail and he knocked on your cell. And you're sleeping? Of course not. Of course not. You're going to stand up and greet the king. Right? That's the story with Rav. He came to the butcher and the butcher blew it, so he died. But those are the final moments. When you hear that shofar blow, everyone's going to dance. The dancing after Yom Kippur over here at Rebbe Osai, it's like nothing else. Like nothing else I've ever experienced. 20 minutes, we're like already an hour past, the fast is over, don't tell anybody. But like it just is so much simcha. Baruch Hashem, like Reb Chatzko, Gevaldik. But there's got to be, when you hear that shofar, for the moment before the Lashon HaBav Yishlaim, I'm going to miss you. You go on Lashon HaAlef, you go on Lashon HaBet, I'm not going to see you for a long time. I'm not going to see you, it's not going to be the same. I can reach out, but there's still a little bit of distance. Got a chaperon right now to think about that. Now is the time. You got 24 hours till Yom Kippur less till it begins. What do? Just one etza. Very, very simple etza. Do tshuva. Dahainu, don't be satisfied with the alchets and everything that's in the machzor. Because you know what? All right, so I say, on this sukkis, and I say, anu amecha, on Yom Kippur. No, it's don't tshuva on Yom Kippur in the Nusach HaTfilah is not just another yontif tefillah, right? If that's all it is for you, so we're missing something. The way you demonstrate the desire to have that kurva is start now. Not when everybody in Klal Yisrael is saying the alchets, but for some reason, right, we talk a lot about doing tshuva the entire Elul. How many people actually sit down pre-Yom Kippur and open up the machzor, right? Okay, so you tell me, all right, it's a kasha, we don't learn Tanakh either. Okay, we know we're supposed to learn Tanakh, okay? So when we talk about doing tshuva, we don't actually do it, okay? I'm not sure it's a good ride from Tanakh, I don't know, but Lamai Sir both say, like, you have the luxury of your kids are not home from school. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I have 7 kids home from school tomorrow. Okay, it's going to be, do me a favor, on my behalf. Okay, do tshuva. Okay, you have so much time tomorrow. It's quiet. The campus is benachas. It's a beautiful, quiet time. Come to the Beis Medrash. And open up, if you have an art school master, all the video, it's all spelled out with all examples. The Chai Adam took the Aleph Beis of Hashamnu and he added Aleph. I don't even know what Hashamnu means, but it's very abstract that we are guilty. But Achalnu b'li bracha b'kavana, I can relate to that, right? Achalti chilagasa. I don't know, my family didn't tell me about this. What's this all-you-can-eat thing in Eretz Yisrael?
Papagai.
I'd be saying al-chid after that one, okay? Come on, like, al-chid shachal al-chil gasa, right? But personalize it. Make your own. I do this. Make your own olive base of the Ashamnus. Pick out from the from all the lists in the Chayadim, it's in any Chayadim, find it downstairs. 22, pick out one for each letter, one chid that speaks to you. You're not going to dramatically change yourself by tomorrow. We get that. But at least say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm taking the effort, I'm taking the time in a quiet room, and I'm saying, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did that, and that puts me at a distance from you. And I hate that. I don't want to be at a distance. That's charata, Rabbi said. There's charata of, oy, I'm going to get punished. Okay, that is charata. But another aspect of charata is parchu me'ava. Parchu me'ava is like, because wow, I have a relationship with you, and I violated that relationship, and I'm so sorry. That's the hiskarvus we're talking. That's coming closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu through tshuva. That's what we're talking about. That's the avod, I think, for the next 24 hours. Don't wait till everyone's in shul and we're singing Hashamna. There's a place for that also. There's a place to sing Hashamna together as a tzibur. But there's also a place to groan Hashamna. To groan Shtikol Hashamna. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us Siyata Dishmaya. To be Zochet to Gemara Chasima Tova. And to take advantage of these moments, the final, again, barely 48 hours, the Baruch Shalom is here, that until there's that Tzil Kashchina, until the shofar blows, that we're going to take advantage of every single moment, say, Baruch Shalom, this is where I want to be. Yom Kippur, this is where I want to be. I want to be Yom Kippur all year round. That's this guy I want to feel. Kosh Baruch should help us. It's over, everybody.